Coming to you from across the planet via Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other listening platforms where podcasts are heard. Welcome, everyone, to The Dan Morrow Show. I am Dan Morrow. With me today is Peter Ishkan. Peter had a TV show back in the day, not too long ago. It was called Peter Perfect. It was on the Style Network, if you remember it. He's also been a commentator for Fashion Police, for Oprah Winfrey. He's done the hair for the stars. He's had his salon in Beverly Hills for a long time and had an interesting story where he just up and left, wound up living in India for a little bit, came back to LA, and he's doing something totally different. Now, with everything going on in the world right now, me and him decided to just have a chat and see what we can do to play our part in making the world just a little bit better. Here's our interview. Hope you like it.
What are you doing today?
What am I doing today?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm reflecting.
Yeah, reflecting. Reflecting on what?
I'm reflecting on everything. On everything. Everything. I had to. I had no other choice. I guess it all started 3 months ago when my life couldn't be better. And
wow.
And then, you know, the corona came. I'm a full-time musician.
Right.
And I was fortunate enough to make a living playing music. And singing,
right.
And I had bookings, and I had everything. The quarantine kind of shut everything down.
Yeah, right.
And with that comes an anger, and I don't know who to be mad at that time. And you go through phases. You go through ups and downs. You know what's? I have a family of five right now. You know, and at times six. You know, there's. Where's the money going to come from? Where's all this uncertainty? And it all leads to uncertainty. And just when things look like they'll be clearing up, I still wouldn't be ready for work or going back to work for another 2 months, 3 months. And then all of this happens. And I think it was all part of just a powder keg waiting to explode. And it exploded. So now it's all a matter of channeling, reinventing myself. I had an astronaut on my show about a week ago, and his name was Story Musgrave, and he helped fix the Hubble telescope. And he's 85 years old now, and he said he said his own career is non-existent right now, and he's really looking forward to reinventing himself and seeing where things are going. And I guess I guess we couldn't have picked a better time to talk, to just have a dialogue and just channel, you know, where do we channel our angers and our emotions? And
Well, the thing about it is the only security we have is our ability to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, where do we direct our anger at? We don't. We recognize it and we turn it, because we know anger just creates anger. So it's like we have to really change the way we perceive ourselves and the world. Because if you're not, if you're weak, you're going to live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you're strong, you're going to live in love. So it's like what do I want to direct? Do I want to direct anger, or do I want to direct love to people? Do I want to direct negativity, or do I want to direct something positive? Because it's like the boomerang effect. Whatever we think and feel becomes our experience in life. How we consciously feel about ourselves gets reflected back to us. So it's like, you know, we have to get back. What my thing with people is, and the work I do now is really about helping people get connected to themselves. Because the issue really is the disconnect that you have with yourself. That we think our situation and our life circumstances dictate how we think and how we feel. But it's not like that. In the East, they've known this for years, that it's our thoughts and feelings that create our experience. And if you are constantly in like a lot of people in the West, are very much beholden to those circumstances and those situations. You're constantly in fear and you live as a victim. So it's really about getting back to the bigger question, which really is, what the hell am I doing on planet Earth? It's like, what is it? Why am I here?
What's your purpose?
Why was I born? Exactly. And when you know that internally, you can then manifest that externally. Because the mind is so powerful, you know, but we have to be vigilant about what we fill it with. Because this is what creates our world. Because there could be 10 of us on a bus, right? Going in the depths of New Jersey, bound by the shore, right? Mm-hmm. We're all sitting there in silence. We're all in the same circumstance, right? One of us can be there thinking, oh God, thank God I got away from the wife this weekend. One person could be thinking, oh, it's so great and peaceful here. One person could be looking at their watch thinking, why the hell are they taking so long to get to the shore? So we're in the same circumstance, but we're having a completely different experiences. Mm. So if I want to predict my future, then I need to create it.
Correct.
That's how I go about my life. You know, because there's a huge problem is when you refuse to be the victim of your circumstances and your life. Huge problem. And the problem is that you take responsibility for your life. And then an even bigger problem comes. You got no one else to blame. Mm-hmm. So this is how we do it. We're not directing anger, like you said in the beginning.
Right.
What we're doing is we are directing our love, because this is what transforms us and the world. It's like these people right now, you know, in this time we're in, and, you know, now there's all these anti-racist movements, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about where we're directing our attention. So I remember that once Mother Teresa was speaking, and they asked her, "Oh, no,
mm-hmm. huh? I know exactly where you're going to go with this, and I love it."
Are you about the anti-war?
Exactly. Yeah, and she won't go to an anti-war, but if it was a pro-peace,
right. She would go,
and I love that.
Because
that's where your attention is.
That's where it is. Because mm-hmm. it's like, because if you think anti-war is still hate towards the people that are racist,
mm-hmm.
and it's like pro-peace is love. So again, it's that direction that she's genius, you know, with it.
Yeah, it's so what you're focusing your attention on. You know, if you don't want a certain person to win a certain election. Don't think about that person. Think of the opponent and focus your energies on the opponent, the person you want to win. And
bingo, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what we're, you know, we're powerful beings, right? Mm-hmm. We're powerful. So it's like we are creating our life moment to moment. We have to recognize that.
And you've always had an ability, whether it was in a Beverly Hills salon doing the hair for the stars, or whether it was making over a business for, you know, on your reality show, Peter Perfect,
or
what you're doing now, everything you've done has had the common denominator of you were able to show the inner beauty out of someone. You know, you'd sit someone in a chair who doesn't feel good about themselves. You fix their hair,
right.
And you show them how beautiful they are. You take their store. You show them how beautiful they're. You show them their true potential. And at that time, you're doing it cosmetically. Now you're doing it internally.
Yeah, because I've always done that. Because I had a mentor like 30 years ago, who really was, who was very much. He said to me, "You know, Peter, there's no power in the outside world." It's like if he was around today, he would say, "The coronavirus has no power. There's no power outside. the power's inside. Like, and it's helping people. One of the tags of that show was really, it was, you know, if you change your image, you'll change your life. Now, everybody thought it was change the way you look, but it really was not. It was the image of yourself.
And it was evident. It was evident when you did that. You'd see the confidence just exude from the people. They were totally new people.
Yeah, because the thing about, he taught me how to love people, mm-hmm. so they could love themselves. You know, it's getting people to, you see. And the interesting thing about it, it was like, you know, you hear a lot of these people talk about, you know, oh, you know, I was praying and praying for this job and I never got it. And he would always say that, you know, praying's no good. It's not, God doesn't hear your prayers, like, give me the job. He doesn't hear that. Mm-hmm. He said, or God or the universe or consciousness, whatever you call it, the creative energy of this universe. He said, when you start to believe in yourself, that's when he gives you what you want. He said, you have to have the belief. The belief drives it. He said, and when you believe in yourself, you can create anything. And it was because, and most people I talked to said, well, why didn't I get that job? And I said, because you didn't believe you were going to get it. And they say, absolutely, I can't believe it. So we have to, this is where our power, we have to recognize, right? It's not that some people have got it and some haven't got it, Dan. We've all got it. There's nothing to attain. You just have to recognize what's really within yourself.
And how bad do you want it?
Recognize all these great virtues, you know?
Mm-hmm. And how bad
do
you want it?
It's a storehouse. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because if you want it bad enough, you'll work for it and you'll put the effort in. And, you know, I believe, you know, the old saying, God helps those who help themselves.
And that's it.
If you're putting this into, and however people believe, if it's God, if it's just the universe in general, if it's just the law of attraction, whatever it is, whatever that power is, as you start to work for it, it is funny how the harder you work for it, doors seem to open.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it just tastes, the victory tastes that much better when you get to it. And if you hit a brick wall, there was a guy named Randy Pouch, and he said the brick walls were never there to keep you out. They were there to see how bad you want what's on the other side of it.
I love that. And I mean, if you think about it, Dan, if we weren't challenged while we're here on Earth, how boring would it be? Really?
Right.
I mean, it would be bloody boring, it would be. We need those challenges. This is what gives us the zest of life, right? Gives us that energy, that enthusiasm. Like you said, you know, it's like drinking nectar when you've completed it and you've done it, you know?
Well, I'm an Evel Knievel fan. You know, I've always loved Evel Knievel when I was growing up. So his whole thing was, there are people, and I think he was quoting, he was trying to paraphrase Teddy Roosevelt or something, saying some people are content just living in a twilight, just going about their day, you know, and are content about it, never knowing what would have happened if they just pushed the envelope a little bit more and challenged themselves and go into that uncomfortable zone, what would happen.
Right. Yeah. It is. It's like, you know, you have to develop this inner heroic nature,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and that gives value to one's existence.
Now, how did you come from having a salon in Beverly Hills to just moving? You know, did you just pack it up all and just say I'm out of here and just go to India?
Yeah,
like,
well,
what happened there?
I tell you what happened. My hair went gray, and it was decided time to leave.
Well, that was something I noticed because if people would watch you, if they would watch you on E or on your TV shows and stuff, whether you were on Oprah and stuff, you know, you had color in your hair, you were doing this, you were very stylish. Not that you're never not stylish, you're always on point, you're always looking good, but you really just seem to just give up the flash and just be. You know, just be Peter.
Yeah, Yeah, but the thing about it is this, is that we think, especially in the West, especially in America, that it's about what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about who we are, how it's about doing rather than being. So it's like, if you're comfortable within yourself, you have this inner poise, which I started to develop many years ago, it didn't really matter what I was doing. It was like, and I could bring that to it. So to me, it looks like being a hairdresser in Beverly Hills in a salon, having a TV show, being the president of the United States, being the person who cleans the streets and the janitor. There's no difference. It's only a different job. You know, there's no hierarchy that they look at. But in the West, they think there is, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, to me, it's like about, it was, I knew internally it was time to take everything I've learned from that situation and being that, and then chant do it into something else, make it something else. It was time. I knew internally. Like I knew by my intuition that I needed to leave England and come to America years ago.
Right.
And it was driving me inside. I've always been able to hear that voice, you know. Even when people think, oh, you should never do that. What's the matter with you? Don't rock the boat. Don't leave a good job you had in England, you know. It's like, no, I knew I had to do this. I've always listened to that voice. If I don't listen to that intuition, that voice inside of me, you know, then it's not good for me. You know, it's mm-hmm. always when you listen to that voice, that intuition, it always puts you on the right path.
Did you become less materialistic in many ways?
Well, I mean, you know, why not? I think the thing about it is the material had no power to me. It mm-hmm. was just, it was like a fun, I think, and I encourage everybody on this planet, we can have everything, right?
Right.
But you're never, we can have everything. And there's nothing wrong in wealth or materialism or things like that. But there is, if it defines you, mm-hmm. you know, all right, I don't have that job anymore. And then who am I? If I don't drive that Aston Martin anymore, who am I?
I like that you Aston know? Martin, though.
Yeah, me too.
I saw it on the shows. I like that a lot.
No, I'm a car fan.
Yeah, but I understand. So, there was a book called The Monk That Sold His Ferrari.
Yeah, no, I read it.
Okay.
I read it. I get it completely. I get that absolutely completely. It's not, I wish it would be so great if happiness was about stuff, right? It would be or it was about fame and fortune and prestige. But, you know, quite honestly, Dan, if it was, then why did Prince end up in an elevator in his house at 90 pounds or something,
right.
You know, dead on painkillers? You're telling me there's a guy who has the world by the balls.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, and he was in that much pain. You know, so we know. We could go to a string of people about it. You know, we know that that's got nothing to do with your state of being. You know, it's about the inside, not the outside. So it's like, if you keep that pristine inside, then you will be happy. You know, and with whatever comes your way.
And you actually, you look happier. You know, if someone, those who know you and have watched your shows, you know, you would think of the very outgoing, outspoken guy critiquing people on the red carpet, you know, the clothes, the fashion, all this. And if they see you now, you look simple. You know, your clothes are simple. You got some beads around you got some bracelets. You got a nice shirt.
Yeah.
And you let your gray through. And you're just so content. You're just so calm.
Yeah. No, those things, yeah. I mean, but I've worked at that. You know, I've worked at having that, you know.
That's inspiring.
I've been meditating and doing those practices for, you know, a long, long time, 30 years. It's like, because I actually was attracted to somebody who had all those things you're talking about, that really, and he was, you know, I mean, that's what I wanted. And I was like, you know, because I knew that that was the way to go. But there's nothing wrong in having stuff. You know,
no.
It's like, you
know,
I wish it on everybody. I wish I, well, anything. It's like, there's nothing wrong in it. That's why there's stuff here. So have it all if you want. You know, we can have it all. It's only our minds that limit us, right? We get stuck in something. We never think we can leave this personality that we have created, these like invented limits within ourselves, you know?
Uh-huh.
You're not your personality. You're far greater than that.
Where did this come from within you? Were you raised like this?
Well, my mum was very much like that. Like, was like, would, you know, her thing was, listen, you know, you have to remember, she came from London. If you're eating a shit sandwich, you can guarantee you made it.
Right.
You know, that was her talk.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then it got refined when I got into New York, because I met people that were talking a different language and doing different approaches to life that really made sense to me, you know, which was really looking at life from the inside out and like understanding that you are the power, that what created this universe is within you, and you have the power to do anything you want. But people don't realize they're that powerful. They think they're the lesser than human beings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've been studying this and working on this and experienced this for 30-odd years.
No, and I couldn't be happier for you.
Sorry.
You know, I see it in your evolution, and that inspires me as well. You know, George Harrison, he said people were negative to him because he's the one that changed the most, and he felt that he should be changing. You know, if you're the same person you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, then there's a problem. You should always be evolving. I'm looking at your titles, you know, I could see the evolution just in your work, you know, from America's Next Top Model, Peter Perfect, Style Network, to Echoing Joy. You know,
yeah. Echoing Joy, yeah.
Which is your new website. Tell me about that. Tell me about this, the whole thing, how that came about. Because I know for a while, because I followed you, you just up and went to India and stayed there for a while.
For a few years I stayed there. And it was because I really wanted to immerse myself in really the Eastern, more of the Eastern philosophy and the teachings there and the meditation. And it was like, I've always wanted to do it and go and do that. And I was like, the only thing stopping me is just packing my bags and going, and I did it. So, but then, you know, sometimes once you've been up the mountain, you have to come back down and tell people, hey, you know, this is what it is. That's not what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, you have to come. It's really about, it became about really knowing my own self and then serving humanity.
With what you know.
Is there anything better? Yeah, so I had to come back to the West, really, to do that.
Right.
Because really, I mean, they have it there already.
Yeah, it's
so
not,
then
it's not doing any good being up in those mountains. It needs to come out and be shared with the world.
Yeah, but when I've imbibed it, when I thought, all right, now I could do that, I was it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, because, you know, you can only give away what you have, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it works.
And you need to take care of yourself first, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Exactly. So I did that, and then I came back, and Echoing Joy was a part of what I started to do. And that felt like Deborah Azar, who I do that with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started to do these videos. You know, I'd known her for many years, and she's a coach. And she, like I said, spiritual psychology. We've always had a good rapport, me and her. And we decided to do some things together, some videos, and create Echoing Joy as then to be a coaching platform. And we work with people like that. We were working with the Department of Social Services. And we'll do a lot of work. That will start up again because, you know, once they all get back, obviously, together again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With their supervisors on their well-being so they could help people in the field. And then I do a lot of work in drug and alcohol treatment centers with helping people really change the way they think in, right, that really means their perception of themselves and the world. Because a lot of alcoholism really is a disease of perception. It's not about alcohol. So and I do a lot of work in there. And then I have individual clients all over the country that I work with. So it just happened, Dan. I mean, this isn't like something I went after, really. I just, when you be it, it kind of like it started up. People started coming to, oh, can you run a meditation class for us? Can you speak to our people? It just started rolling, and you just say yes to everything, even though some things don't seem like that great. And those things then lead to other things, and it's just
okay.
Really,
let me stop you. I'm going to have to stop you right there.
Yeah,
because that is a very important thing not to just glaze over, saying yes to everything.
Yeah, right. There you go.
And how important that is, because so many opportunities can be missed, and most likely it's the opportunity that you turned down because you just did not want to do that one for whatever reason, and you have no intention to go to this event or go to this meeting or to meet with these people or to do something, whatever it is. And whether you're lazy or just don't want to do it, or you just don't feel right about it, it's outside your comfort zone. And those are the moments that really wind up being the big breakthroughs for you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I really do believe that everything that comes in front of you is meant for you in some way. It's either for them for a lesson of some description, or for you to teach a lesson. You don't really know exactly what that is. So it's really about, I always, if it's in my sphere, then it's definitely for me. I have to listen. And there was a person who came to me, like I was running these meditation classes, and they just said nonchalantly, it's all kind of like said to me, you would think, oh, you know, I'd like you to come and see if you could do something at our company, for us. And I was thinking, oh, really? Okay. And I, you know, it was one of those. I go, oh, I don't know these people, you know. And I ended up going, and it was in Department of Social Services. Next thing, about 2 weeks later, I'm in front of 900 people. So, you know, it's like many, you know, it's funny. I know someone who is in the music, who talk about music, like you. He couldn't get a gig or do anything anywhere. And he was, you know, he was like working in a band and all this stuff. This was years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh man, he said, I've been offered a job in a shoe shop. You know, I've got to take it. So I need money. So right. I said, good, take it. He ended up putting shoes on some like executive of a record company, giving him his CD, and they got signed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I mean, it's like just say yes, and then you know. Mm-hmm. It's like anything. It's like you just say yes to everything that comes your way, you know.
So it's because it's better to say yes, having tried, than say no, and then wonder the rest of your life.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is this all
if we say no, we know what we're going to get. Mm-hmm. We say yes, we don't know what we're going to get. It can be anything, be up into infinite possibilities, right?
Yeah, just take the risk. Ask the questions that you were afraid to ask. Just you never know. Now, you're back in L.A.
I'm in L.A.
Are you still back in a salon setting, or are you just solely doing...
No, just solely doing that coaching business now, you know.
And good for you, man.
Yeah, no, it's time. I mean, I'm 60 now, and I say, you know, so it's like this is something now. It's got no shelf life. You know, I can continue doing this in a way for the rest of my time, you know, and I have great enthusiasm for it because I love it, because there's nothing better than helping people see how great they are and for them to change their circumstance. You know, I mean, there's nothing better for me.
No.
That's my thing, you know, and I love that, and I get more and more and more and more work. So I know that's what I'm meant to be doing.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah, for now, for today, talking to you. So what are you going to, What are you going to do? What are you going to invent until you're back playing music? Because you will be.
Well,
because you're great at it and you've had all this. It's like you're just on a pause.
What I'm doing right now, because I do have a lot of skills because of being a musician. One of them is making great recordings, which is what I'm doing right now, and sharing this kind of stuff with the world. If I can get this podcast going, that'd be great. If I can get a sponsor and start getting some recognition, because I'm getting guests like, you know, Tommy Chong. I'm getting astronauts, and I'm asking people questions I want to ask them. And, you know, I know that, and putting it out for free, because I know that maybe there's someone else out there that these conversations can help. And I just see this also being the future. You know, people, when you're working out, when you're at the gym or doing yoga or in your car, everything, you know, it's just audio. You want to have something to listen to sometimes. And so, I'm just going to reinvent myself. And, you know, I'm not afraid. And I'm just just going to keep doing it. Now, you're in L.A. at a time when, well, it doesn't matter. There's such a worldwide event going on right now with just riots and just all this stuff going on in the news and around the world and with the coronavirus. So obviously the world's wounded right now. And I think where you come in is showing people, well, I'm not going to try to change him, but I can change myself first.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the world. I don't look at it like that. I think the world's just the world as it is. Mm-hmm. It's like our thinking. Our thinking is what needs to change. So it's like there's nothing wrong out there because it's what it is. If it was wrong, it wouldn't be happening.
Right.
You know, this is what's happened. This is a circumstance. This is a situation that's going on. So how am I going to respond to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, what am I going to bring to it?
Right. Am I just going to be a bystander, or is there something I can contribute, whether just on my own in life or with others?
So I'm not never in fear of it, or anxious or things like that. It's like it's just always about, I'm always in the creating mode. I'm creating my own experience of this.
And
so and if I didn't do that, then my mum would kick my ass. She was alive.
I've read a little into the because I can't say this to save my life. The Bhagavad Gita. I think I just said
The Bhagavad Gita. Yeah,
say it three times fast. Where everything. That's the way it was supposed to happen. If I decide to do this, that's how it was supposed to happen. And now, how do we react on that? And I love your insight on that. If I was, if someone was listening, because I do meditate. I've never been trained to meditate, but you know, if I can give myself just 10 minutes of doing nothing, sitting quietly,
that's meditating.
You know,
being with yourself is meditating.
Now, how do you go about it? Because I've seen some of your videos. You have like a few steps. There's with the mantra and everything.
Well, I do. I mean, you know, I've been doing it for over 30 years. So it's like but I also, first of all, meditation is very natural to us. It's the natural state of our inner being.
Which is funny because it's the most natural thing to do that nobody can really do. Sit and do nothing.
But how about this also too? Our thoughts and feelings create our experience of life, the most simplest thing that no one can get a handle on. So it's always the simple becomes the most complicated, because it can't be that simple, Dan.
Right.
It can't be.
Right.
You know, yes, it is. It's like we complicate everything. So the thing about it is like, you know, with our, it's like, you know, if your hands got cut off, mm-hmm. you could still function. If your leg fell off, you could still function. If you got blind, you could still function. If you can't hear, you can still go about your day. But I tell you can't go about your day if you have no breath.
Right.
Once the breath leaves the body, you're done. So So we know that the power is in the breath. So if we connect our awareness with our breath, then that starts to quieten the mind, because the power is in the breath. Like in the East, they call it prana, life force. They don't call it breath, they call it life force. So we use our breath to really connect with our true nature. It's like the vehicle that we're just sitting with ourselves, and obviously closing your eyes, because it cuts the senses off, because the senses are always dancing out in the world, you know, the eyes looking and hearing and tasting. Mm-hmm. And it's like once we close that down and look within ourselves, then we can start to get quieter. Immediately you get quieter. And then it's connecting our awareness with the breath and just sitting and being with ourselves, just being with ourselves and getting used to that. And 10 minutes a day will transform your life. So it is natural to us. It's like it just takes a little bit of like anything. You don't go to the gym one day and get and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, it's going to take time.
You need to go a few times.
Yeah.
So you just need to get to use it. And the thing is, you got to get to know yourself. That's all it is. It's the more you know yourself and get comfortable in your own skin, then the mind starts to quieten down.
And so it's you can just start breathing and just...
You just connect with the natural flow of your breath. It's like you just close your eyes.
Okay.
And you just let your breath just be natural, the natural flow of your breath, the easeful flow of your breath. And your awareness, like your focused attention, then with your eyes closed, you just watch the flow of the breath. As the breath comes in, there's that natural pause and a gap. And then the breath goes out. And then there's a natural pause and a gap. So that's what you're watching. You're just watching that breath coming in and out, in and out. And that starts when the awareness and the breath come together. That's when the mind starts to relax and starts to melt into the heart. So then you start to tap into this power that's within you, the seat of intuition and things like that. And you just know, oh, you know what? I'm going to do this today. This is what I need to call, or this is what I need to do. Or it just becomes, then you get in the flow. There's much more of a flow to your life and easefulness to the life the more you do it. And then you go, oh, one day, I'm going to do 15 minutes today. And then you might be up to half an hour a day in a year. So, you know, the more you start to do it and turn within, then the more that the mind starts to quieten down.
And the mind is very powerful. Not many people realize, like, even just connectively, if we all thought the same thing or focused on the same thing, the mind can be very, very powerful. It can manipulate machines in a way.
Well, because in the West we don't understand the nature of the mind or the source of the mind, you know. And in the greatest psychologists were these yogis, all these yogis out there from the Buddha to all these, and there are many of the, you know, Socrates or Plato from there on, all these different people that have come along, you know, that in the world. They knew the source and the nature of the mind. And that the nature of the mind is to think. The source of the mind is your true nature, like your soul, the power, where the power is.
Right.
So it's like when you know that's the source, then you start to look at that very differently. So it's like the power is coming from within you.
And you can change things.
Directing that power.
Mm-hmm. I think the greatest example for that, one of the greatest examples for that, is not just mass prayers, but when 9/11 happened, it really affected everybody, and that was 2001. Affected the world, affected the country. On the anniversary of 9/11, everyone, you know, 9/11. 2002, the year after, everyone is focusing on 9/11. The lottery number for that day in New York City wound up becoming 911.
Oh, wow. Wow, look at that.
And you could look that up. It was, you know, September 11, 2002. The winning numbers were 9-11, and it was just for me. That was just a great substantiative. I can't even find the words when I talk. I'm an idiot, but it was just it was just a great.
Don't say that, Kane. Positive. You'll
become an idiot. I know. It was a positive indication that mass thinking and mass consciousness can work and right. help create good things.
Yeah.
And where do we go from here?
That's right. Yeah, that's what it is. But that you know, it's like people don't think like that, do they? I mean, it's like they all think differently, and unfortunately, everyone thinks their perspective is the right perspective, that there's no other perspective.
Right.
So we have to do things like Nelson Mandela did, who was the art of, you know, he needed to understand before he was understood. Because he knew when he understood, then when he spoke, they would understand him.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know, but many people think I think this way, so my perspective must be right.
Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here, Peter?
Well, I mean, we can only really, again, what we began this conversation with is the only security we have is our ability to change. We talked about it. We can only change within ourselves to make a change in the world. So the more I can influence my circle of people saying, hey, you know, you can choose your, because I read a book many, many years ago about, it was called Man's Search for Meaning. I don't know if you've ever read that.
No.
It was about Viktor Frankl, who was a psychiatrist in Auschwitz. And he realized that, you know, because every day he stood in a line, whether it was left for the gas chamber, right for hard labor, that he realized in that moment that you can strip a human being of absolutely everything, but you can never take away their power to choose their state of being. And he chose to be happy and a good state of being while he was there for the rest of his time. And it transformed him, transformed the people that were with him, and all the guards used to come to him because of for his counsel, because he exuded this joy. So where do we go from here? We have to realize that we are powerful beings and we choose our state of being from moment to moment, whether we do it subconsciously or consciously. And the unconsciously is really usually very negative, because we look at ourselves in a much lesser than, I'm not good enough type of way, where we have to start seeing how great we truly are. When you see your own greatness within yourself, you can only cause a positive effect in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So these people, you know, so this is where we have to go. We have to realize how great we are and then shine that out into the world.
I love that.
But also, Dan, the other side of it really is, when you think about it, I've been on a planet for 60 years. There's never really been a time of complete peace and harmony in the outside world. There's always some war going on. There's always some thing going on.
Right.
So we know it's within us, that peace is only can come within us.
Right.
This is where we have to find it.
No, I agree, man. I do. Do you have a motto that you follow? Like, if you had to pick one motto that you just stick with all day long, that you just say, you know, here's a saying I remember that I just always think of.
Well, I mean, I have to go back to Mother Teresa, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I always think she said, you know, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. She said, the world is my home and you are my family. I love you.
I think that's perfect. That's perfect.
It's Peter Perfect.
I wish you all the best, my friend.
Finally, it's so great to talk to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're ever lonely, you can call me. I'd love to hear your voice again. I might even call you.
I appreciate that, man. No, I just from watching your show, you know, I'm self-employed, and I created everything from nothing, and especially just being a guitar player. So I'd watch your show, and I'd learn about branding, and I'd learn about you know, an image, and I just learned so much of what I do was learned from watching you and reading books, and I would save all the shows when they would come on, and it just, you really helped me out. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, you have a great rest of the day, you.
You too. You too. I wish you all the best. Bye-bye,
Dan.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
Bye-bye, Peter. Peter's got a great website, and if you want to see, you want to learn more, and you want to watch some videos and learn more about meditation, learn more about what Peter's doing nowadays, learn how to self-evolve for yourself, there's echoingjoy.com. That's Peter's website, echoingjoy.com. And it's a perfect name for him, too, because he does. He echoes joy. He's a really good guy, and I love talking to the guy. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about the show. You can find The Dan Morrow Show on Anchor FM, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and all other listening platforms where podcasts are heard. Hey, on Instagram too, Dan Morrow, Dan Morrow Music. I'm on Facebook. Look for the show on Twitter. And for live show dates, if we ever play again, videos, updates, and all other facets of me, go to my personal website, danmorrow.com. That's danmarrow.com. People, that's another one in the books. I love you all. Be safe. Have a great day.